This is Mornings with Leon Compton, keeping you updated every day on ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania.
I read an article on the Guardian website the other day that stopped me in my tracks. I couldn't do anything else until I'd got to the final bit of punctuation. It was written by Tim Flannery. Professor Tim Flannery is probably Australia's best known advocate for dramatic responses to a warming climate. And I'll read you a line from it. No climate report or warning, no political agreement nor technological innovation has altered the ever upward trajectory of pollution. This simple fact forces me to look back on my 20 years of climate activism as a colossal failure. Tim Flannery, Chief Counsellor at the Australian Climate Council, good morning to you.
Good morning, Leon.
Thank you for talking with us. What moment, what brought you to put pen to paper or finger to keyboard and write the article that appeared on The Conversation this week?
Look, I think it was the last global figures that came out for 2018 showing that, you know, global emissions had gone up again by a massive 1.7%. And that the concentration of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere had gone up by the highest recorded amount ever, 3.5 parts per million. And to see Australia's emissions continue to climb when they don't need to, you people in South Australia know that so well. You've led the charge. But the rest of the country is just in denial. And we live in a business-as-usual world which is heading rapidly towards a crisis. So I felt, you know, I had to just tell people the truth, that we had failed and we need to try something different.
Tim, I reckon I've spoken to you from just about every state in Australia. I'm sitting in Tasmania as
Talk to you. Sorry, I thought you were in South Australia.
Yeah, Tim, we've spoken from many places, but we're sitting in Tasmania today and thinking about this from a Tasmanian perspective. When you look at those figures that have come out in the last week, what does that mean in terms of its impact the way that the Earth is heading?
Well, you know, we are headed towards a world which in 2100 will be 4 degrees warmer than the one we inherited. And that is such a grim world. I mean, you know, obviously we don't know precisely what it'll be like, but there is not a single scientific report that doesn't see it as a total catastrophe. You know, some people like James Lovelock think there's going to be enough productivity for 1 billion people rather than 7 billion. You know, and I've got a 6-year-old, right? They're likely to be alive in 2100, and I'm not going to let them inherit a world like that if I can do anything to stop it.
And so what interests me in this article is the place that you start to pivot. You talk about this group, Extinction Rebellion, and we've interviewed them on this program. They're gluing themselves to roads in Brisbane. They're shutting down traffic. They're taking direct action to raise awareness about this that contravenes the law. You've obeyed the law at every turn in your career so far. Are you suggesting that you're thinking about changing your approach?
Look, you know, if you look back on history, the great moments when things have changed have largely in democracies been due to rebellions. So we had the Chartists wanting universal suffrage, you know, 200 years ago, and then the suffragettes wanting women to get the vote. And, you know, the people who framed the American Declaration of Independence were let down by their government. The people who manned the Eureka Stockade, you know, were let down by their government. And we have a group of young people today whose futures hang in the balance and they're being betrayed by their government. So, of course, we'll have a rebellion. And this is a rebellion of modern times. And I look at those people as great heroes. They're up there with Patrick Lawler for me and you know, Ben Franklin and all of the great people who have stood up to tyranny in the past.
And yet, up until now, you've been inside the tent. You work at the Australian Climate Council. You lobby, you write papers, you pressure, you operate in and around the political process. You're saying that's not working?
It's failed for 20 years, and I don't know what is next for me. I'm giving it some very deep reflection at the moment. But those young people who are manning the barricades at the rebellion, they are truly heroes because they are sacrificing their own time and future and are being threatened with jail to create a better world.
You say, quote, I've come to understand that they, and you're talking about people who are refusing to act as you would have them or to reduce climate emissions, are threatening my children's well-being as much as anyone who might just seek to harm a child. That's a serious allegation.
It is absolutely true. I mean, as I said, my youngest child is 6 years old, and what those people are with great joy setting about trying to create is a world that will just deliver such a dismal quality of life to our children if they survive at all. But for what? So that they can continue to strut the stage with their arrogant denialism, or so they can continue to take money from fossil fuel companies? I don't know what it is, but they are betraying their own children and my children, and they are a danger to our society. They're climate predators, and we need to stop them in their tracks, and we need to create a better world.
So what would you now suggest? What do you think, on your assessment, will work if campaigning and, presenting the science hasn't?
Look, I'm giving that really deep reflection at the moment. I don't know what the right answer is. Confronting 20 years of failure is not easy, and finding a new way forward is probably arguably even harder. So I'm thinking about that right now. But we've got very little time to act. We need to do something very soon.
Tim Flannery, I'm trying to take this to the logical conclusion. Do you think that this will need to be a violent rebellion to demand to get action on climate change? Because this is Professor Tim Flannery, the Chief Counsellor at the Australian Climate Council that we're talking to this morning. Do you think this is what it will take to get climate action?
Look, Extinction Rebellion is committed to non-violence. If you look at the recent actions in London, where they closed down six critical junctions in London, the police were on their side. Police were thanking them for protecting the police's children and all people on the planet. So successful rebellions gather support from all sides. And that means being non-violent, but it does mean great sacrifice, because you give up your time, you give up your freedom, and you can be... Some Extinction Rebellion leaders have been jailed for weeks. So, in my view, they're heroes. I don't think violence is helpful. But we need to have a rebellion that garners support from all sides and strips bare the lies that the climate predators are thriving on.
Professor Tim Flannery is our guest this morning on Mornings Around Tasmania. Jump on the conversation and have a look at his article. It's also available on the Guardian website if you'd like to have a read through it. What advice do you have for young people, Tim Flannery, who may be struggling with eco-anxiety? As you mentioned, you have a six-year-old. You will be, if you're not dealing with it already, you'll see it in your house potentially. What advice do you offer?
I've already seen it with my older children. They know me pretty well. They know that I don't get despairing. I guess one trait that I know I have is stubbornness, and I hope my kids inherit that same stubbornness. We won't give up. You might get compressed by issues. It gets very uncomfortable, but the last thing I will ever do is give up.
One of the bits of advice that we had at a Curious Climate event recently that the ABC in Tasmania organised with a host of scientific institutions from around the state and the country, the suggestion that if you're feeling despairing, acting locally, acting individually or in concert with a group of friends may at least make you feel more positive about what's going on. Is that something that you'd endorse?
Absolutely. Every action is an act of leadership in this debate, even if it's taking on the senile old uncle who denies climate change at the Christmas dinner. It's all important.
Tim Flannery, what levers would you pull? What could Australia do, or should Australia do, our nation do now, to satisfy you that something dramatic's happening?
Look, the only time our emissions have ever gone down is when we had a carbon price. And does anyone remember back then, did anyone suffer any harm through that period when we had a carbon price that was reducing emissions? I don't think so. No one noticed it. There were lies flying about roast lamb costing $100 and all this sort of rubbish and the Great Fear campaign. But in fact, no one heard through that, through that business. Electricity prices have gone up before and have gone after. It's just, part of the way, the world works. But the carbon price itself was delivering enormous benefits. We need to slow that pollution down. There are various mechanisms to do that, but a carbon price is an important one. Renewable energy targets are really important. Having a government that wholeheartedly wants to act through everything from vehicle emissions through to protecting forests, through to, taxing carbon, all of that stuff's hugely important.
Tim Flannery, appreciate you joining us this morning.
That's a pleasure. Thank you.